this is Jelly Real, and you're listening to TMV Cafe.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. These damn nachos give me the trots. You're listening to the TMV Cafe, entertainment for your ears. Where else would you rather spend the holidays? Why was that guy Irish at the end?
It's Christmas! Come on, everybody! It's Christmas time!
Woo! The TMV Cafe! Ho, ho, ho! Come play!
Welcome to the TMV Cafe. Step inside and have a seat.
Y'all come in now. It's free pie night. And I'm talking, it's good pie night.
Yeah, I think Outlander is probably most people's favorite quote. I'd say mine is when I say, when Linda Hamlin asks, what do I want when we're in that house? And I say, we want to give you peace. I think that's the most chilling, but I like that one.
Y'all come in now. Standing for Molly.
The man who doesn't play with Lincoln Block, but Legos, Nathan Soraya, is actually live and on the air right now.
How you guys doing?
Y'all come in now. It's free pie night.
This is Fury from American Gladiators.
This is Mayhem.
Romeo.
Romeo. William Mayhem Romeo from the American Gladiators. You are listening to the Mortal Vampire. Yeah.
This is Greg Martin for the Kentucky Headhunters. This is Beth, the Mighty Jerry Lyons from CW. It's free pie night. Just only 2 months. Save me some, please.
Y'all come in now. It's free pie night.
When he first laid eyes on the thing, Dodger worried he was at the wrong place. He was almost convinced he was still in his bed at the inn, asleep, because he had never seen anything so fantastic in all his walking life. And even then, he wasn't sure he could dream up something like this. And we are dreaming up something special today. Well, it's not dream, it's reality, folks. This is none other than Free Pie Night with myself, EW. I've got a special, special guest who actually wrote those lines right there. I slaughtered them. She'll kill me later. but that's none other than Miss Tanya Brown.
Hello.
There she is. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing excellent. I'm excellent for several reasons.
Oh.
I'm excellent because I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is excellent. And I am excellent because I am alive, which is always excellent.
That's a good thing.
And I am excellent because I am not at work. And anything that gets me out of work has my vote.
Yay, I win.
Yay!
Awesome. Well, I want to tell everyone who is listening via their smart devices or right here live on the TMV Cafe website that we have something amazing. Now, of course, we have Miss Tanya Brown. That's amazing. But we get the opportunity to do an exclusive first time on the air around the world. We will be playing a song tonight from a very talented young man. And we'll talk about who he is, and give the introduction to the song as we get ready to do that on our break. So get ready for that, because this is going to be amazing. This guy has got some talent. And again,
okay.
It is an exclusive. This will be the first time.
Awesome.
I know. It's like, go get your warm, fuzzy slippers. Make sure you have your headsets on so you can keep listening to the show. But get your warm, fuzzy slippers, wrap tight up in the blanket. Get your hot cocoa, coffee, cold beer, hard-boiled eggs.
I always love being somebody's first.
Yes, isn't it special?
Yeah.
So we will be getting some awesome stuff going on. This station is taking off. And if you're just joining us, stick around because it's getting awesome. Anyway, speaking of awesome, Miss Tanya Brown here is an amazing lady. Now, you guys got to meet her partner in crime. Yes, I'm talking a dynamic duo who tear up the airwaves on Sundays, who is not, we're going to tease her for this, who is not in the chat room right now.
Yes, she said that she could listen but couldn't be in the chat room, that she couldn't do both.
We're going to have to pick on her, Miss Lori.
Yeah, so we can talk about her without her actually being able to fight back, which is
yes,
good for me. Because I love when somebody can't defend themselves. It's always better.
Right. Well, you guys met Lori Titus last week. Here's her partner in crime, Miss Tonya Brown, and they are the host of Flashes in the Dark, right?
Correct. I think the funky werepig himself, Gregory Hall, referred to us as the Laverne and Shirley of Blog Talk Radio.
Well, now you guys can move on up. You're moving on up, yes, to the sky. Oh,
that is
sorry.
Exactly right.
Yeah, you are moving on up to TMV Cafe.
To the east side, baby.
That's right. And you guys are going to be taking over your spot, same time, same bat channel, same bat time on Sundays, right?
Correct.
Sweet. See, I love it. It's good when I can remember things. Now,
that's not my job. That's Lori's job. She remembers stuff.
There you go. Well, I want to point out people's attention to one particular book on a website here. If you're at the chat room, there's this book that's called Brass and Bolts. This is a Dream of Steam book. Now, this is steampunk, and we've discussed steampunk in the past, but the reason I mentioned the book is not necessarily for you to go buy it yet. You can buy it later. But you're going to be buying another thing similar to that, because if you like steampunk, you're going to love Miss Tonya. She is the author of, well, it's a rather long series by what I'm looking at here, of a steampunk version. It's like a blog page?
Yes, it's a web serial.
There you go.
It's actually, it's a web serial, but technically the more technical version is it's a serial novel.
Sweet. And from what I understand, they can also purchase it via Kindle.
Yes. I've written, the chunks are written in novella segments, and then as those novellas post, I've been posting them up on the Kindle as well. So.
Sweet.
It works well for everybody.
All right. Well, I just posted in the chat room the Amazon link so where you can go get it for your Kindle right now, and that's actually volume one, folks. There is actually three chapters that I know of right now.
Yeah, there's the first two volumes are available right now on Kindle. The third volume is posting right now, and as soon as it's done posting, it will go up on Kindle. And then I intend to take those three volumes and put them out on print. So
sweet.
They should be available at the beginning of next year.
Sweet. Sweet, uh-huh. Sweet, sweet. Now I got.
And I'm working on the fourth right now. I've got the fifth and sixth plotted. And I have storylines just perpetual because it was intended. I wrote it originally to just be a perpetual series, hopefully.
Well, what got my attention the second I started doing research on you, the first lines to Volume 3, Chapter 8, and it, well, of course, there's a line before that somebody's saying, but it's kind of, I guess, the next line. It says, the vampire's mood changed so suddenly that even Dodger felt a pang of sympathy for her. I've never heard anyone ever have a feeling of sympathy for a vampire. So this got my attention.
Oh, they're lovely. They're lovely ladies. They mean well. The vampires in this tale are the forsaken because they've been forsaken by their own kind, by God, by everybody. What they've done is they've given up attacking human beings and being adversaries to humans. They run a bordello in which men come to them, and in exchange for certain services, they get blood from the men.
Ooh. This is interesting. Yeah, see, now I'm going to have to really start from the beginning and go all the way. You can't. See, this is one of those ones you really can't skip around, can you?
No, because he's actually talking to a ghost about it. So, I just.
All right.
It's a very complicated story.
So there's paranormal in there. There's, kind of give us a description of what it is.
The story is, it's best described as a steampunk flavored weird western. I originally started out for it to be really steampunk driven, but the more I wrote, the more it became more like a weird Western. It still has a lot of steampunk elements with the technology and of course, the time period being a Victorian era. But overall, it's taken a really huge lean towards the weird Western, which is fine. That's good because I like weird Westerns anyway. So.
Where do you? I'm going to ask this the toughest question of them all, because any author that does this, you know, they all come from different areas. Where do you get your ideas from?
Anywhere, pretty much.
From
the ideas for this one came to me when I was watching the remake of True Grit, and at the very beginning, the train pulls into the station with the body in a casket, and as I watched the train pull in, I thought it was like a fireworks. Of ideas that just shot off immediately. I thought, I'd like to write a story about a train. I'd like to write a series about a train. I'd like to write a steampunk series about a train set in the West. And then from then on, it just started tumbling and tumbling. And as I watched True Grit, by the end of the film, I had most of the first volume plotted out.
Well, let's get your description of this, because there's a lot of people that... I guess don't understand what steampunk is. They don't have the, or maybe never heard of it. You know, it wasn't just until I think last year when I actually heard about it.
Okay.
I hear your description.
Of course, you've heard the reference where they say steampunk is when goths discover the color brown.
Right.
Yes, everybody's heard that one. Hmm. For me, steampunk is pretty much anything set in the Victorian era that has social and technological aspects that are out of its time. That is the loosest definition for me. If it fits that framework, then I'm good in calling it steampunk. People get really picky about it having to be dystopian. They get real picky about it having to be set in England. They just get picky. I'm not picky. I've never been a picky person. So I'm happy with it having to relate. It doesn't even have to be set in the Victorian era, as long as it relates some way to the Victorian era. And as long as the technology is sort of out of time for the time frame that it's in. It doesn't have to be steam-driven. Clockworks are good for me. I'm real big on clockworks. But like I said, as long as it fits this little tiny mold, I'm pretty good calling it steampunk. And then I also like to look at things as having steampunk flavors. It doesn't have to be steampunk, hardcore punk. It can have a steampunk flavor, such as Howl's Moving Castle, for instance. To me, and I know that it has nothing to do with steampunk. It's completely set out of a steampunk timeline. But for me, it has a steampunk flavor, just the way it's written, the way it's presented, the aesthetics of it, basically.
Right.
Seems steampunkish to me.
Now... I'm gonna kind of bounce off the subject for a second here, but for those Midnight Spice fans who like to get spicy after midnights with Miss Amber, you not only write the steampunk, but you also take it to an extra extent as well.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you write there?
I like to write erotica. I have written lots of different kinds of erotica, everything from paranormal fantasy to steampunk erotica. I have a series called Clockworks and Corsets that I've written under the name Regina Riley. I picked up a pen name early on in my career because I thought it would be fun. I kind of regret it now. I really wish I'd put everything out under Tonya, because I was never ashamed of writing erotica. It's just I thought it would be fun to have a pen name. I kind of wished I hadn't done it now. So now I have to deal with both the names. It's kind of aggravating. But Clockworks and Corsets is, there's Clockworks and Corsets and there's Pigeons and Pistols. And there should be a third one that I haven't actually gotten around to writing yet, because I got completely obsessed with Railroad and it's sort of taken over everything else.
Well, I want to let you know, I just got word right now from Midnight Spice. Normally, you guys, she does a recorded show every other Wednesday. Tonight, she's breaking the rules, and, oh boy, and she's going live tonight because she's got a special guest, too. Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
I'm going to have to tell, aren't I?
Go ahead.
Okay. It is none other than Miss Tonya.
Oh, my gosh, it's me.
Yeah. She's, I guess we're going to find out what exactly that book is about. And
good, we can talk about Lucky Stamp too.
Yeah, well, she likes to talk of, yeah. Anyway. yeah, because.
Lucky Stamp is an erotic zombie novel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This really brings what is that called?
Necrophilia, yeah.
Necrophilia, yeah, that brings that to a whole new level. Wow.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah, she says she hopes you can hang with her questions. Oh, boy. This is going to be a fun night.
Yeah, it could be.
Should I guess I'm going to do this because it's not normal, and we know that there's a possibility some... we're going to have a contest going here pretty soon, too, here in a minute, after this disclaimer. All the views and opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of TMV Cafe, its sponsors, or its affiliates. And the reason we're saying that is there's a possibility tonight there will be a few bombs, and we're kind of referring to the F-bomb.
Yeah.
And we know also know that the title of her book, the erotic book.
Actually, that's my husband's fault. He named it.
I'm gonna give you though. That's a really cool play on words.
Yes. And this is from a man whose family very prudish.
Mm.
Yes. He's I referred to him before as the king of nomenclature. Because if you're a writer or a musician or a filmmaker, if you have trouble making a title for something, get in touch with me. Because my husband is the king of naming things. I've never heard anybody this talented. Clockworks and Corsets, that's his. The name of the ship, the Merry Widow, that's his. Because the Merry Widow is actually a corset, a type of corset.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then that's what we named the airship.
Wait a second.
Brilliant.
I have to know this. How did he know that that was a title of a corset?
You know, I have to wonder, how did you know it was a title of a corset? He says he just knows stuff. If you know him, that is an adequate description. He really does just know stuff. I keep a file of things he says because he says such clever things. I'm going to write a book one day, things my husband says.
Right. It looks like Amber saying she needs a title for her life story.
I'll get with Tony on that.
There you go. So, Railroad, is this, did you actually just get this because it's what your dream was to start off in the steampunk and how you wanted it to go? Or did you get this name from some other source?
No. What happened with... I've gotten into steampunk through the erotica. I was working the erotica angle for a while, and it wasn't doing anything for me. There's so many people that write it; it's so hard to get into. And I did the paranormal stuff because I can't write just straight. To me, I refer to it as boring erotica because it's just straight stories about people falling in love and screwing. So I did the fantasy thing for a while with some fairies and some vampires and stuff, and it wasn't doing it for me either. So I've been a big fan of steampunk for years, so I decided to try steampunk out, and that's actually how I started writing steampunk, was writing erotica steampunk first. And then I wrote a few short stories for Steampunk Tales, it's an iPhone app magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did some for some anthologies. I even edited an anthology for Sonar 4 Press called An Anthology of Steampunk. And when I had went I had toyed for a while about maybe doing a web serial, but I didn't have time for it, and the truth is I didn't have the nerve for it, because these people write these things on the fly week by week. I don't see how they do it, honestly. And when I had come up with the concept for Railroad, the name Railroad immediately, That was the working title, because I usually have working titles before I bring in a Tony and say, what should I call this? And I seriously do that. I'm not kidding. I really do bring in things and say, what should I name this? And he names it for me. Railroad was the working title. It was Railroad with an exclamation point. Railroad! And it was originally supposed to be about the railroad. It was going to be about making the transcontinental railroad, the international railroad,
mm-hmm.
And the corruption that went on during that, and the trouble we had with the Indians, and it's the killing off of the buffalo. Somewhere in there, it sort of changed and evolved into what it is now, and so that's why the title. Even though it's not set really in the railroad, it's still called Railroad. But the title itself is a play on words in many sense, because many of the main characters were railroaded out of their personal lives, and they're kind of exiles now. So that works on that level. The train itself is its own railroad. It lays its own tracks, so it can go anywhere it wants to go. So as far as titles go, that's the story about that.
Cool. Now,
I told you I ramble.
I'm actually kind of I want to get into the steampunk, but I'm lost on one part, and I know everybody's going to be like, huh? I want to know about the how'd you come up with the idea of an erotica zombie novel?
I actually answered a submission call from Ravenous Romance for a zombie romance story. Short stories, and the anthology is called Hungry for Your Love. And I almost didn't find out that I had made it, because my email was screwing up at the time. It was before I switched to Gmail. Thank God for Gmail, because my ISP was incredibly unreliable.
Right.
Because we lived out in the sticks, so we had this horrible internet connection. It's almost dial up, but anyways, that's neither here nor there. I'm rambling again. So I had finally, like, down to the wire, I got sent an email that said, we've been asking you for edits and for contracts and stuff, but you don't want to be in this anthology. And I was like, hell yeah, I want to be in this anthology. So I'd gotten into it, and within a month of them putting it out and turning it around, even before it hit their website to be sold, St. Martin's Press picked it up, and it was a resale to St. Martin's Press. So in my mind's eye, I saw that as a welcome from the publishing community for zombie romance stories.
Hmm.
And I was like, huh, I wonder how far you could take this. And when I had started the story, I had actually just finished another one called The Blooming. And a Sona 4 had contacted me and asked me to write an erotic zombie tale. They wanted an erotic zombie horror story. And I said, I want to clarify something. Do the zombies actually get it on? And, well, I think my exact words is, do they get their smack on?
Right.
She wrote me back and said, no, exactly. It would be best if they don't. So I wrote the story around the other characters screwing while the zombies were attacking, which worked really well. And then I got to thinking, when I went to work on it, I thought, after I sold the story to Ravenous Romance, and I saw that they had resold the whole novel, the whole collection, to St. Mark's Press, and I thought, maybe this is the time. Maybe zombie romance is going to be the next thing. And since then, there's been Breathers and Warm Bodies. A couple of different novels have done well. I was thinking, how far could you take it? So I went back to my Blooming question, is can the zombies get their smack on? And if they did, how far would you go? Now, there's some stories that are in Hungry for Your Love in which they do get their smack on, and they do go far.
Mm-hmm.
It did not turn me on. So I thought, how would I write it? And that's how the whole Peter character evolved, is that he's very unusual in the way that he does what he does.
I like it. And it's a Peter character, yes.
Yes, Peter. And, you know, and this is a funny story about that, too, is I didn't realize I'd named him Peter, you know, Peter, until I'd read Mr. Brown a pass, and he said, did you really name your character Peter? And I said, yes. And he was like, Peter. Oh, Peter. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody else is like, uh-huh. Awesome. Well, guys, what we're going to do is we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back here with more Tanya. Also want to let you know that we will be doing here in the break, the music you're going to hear, is an exclusive first by T.J. Howard. It's called Lost in Texas. And so you'll be hearing that song in between the commercials right here on TMV Cafe. And we'll be back right after our word from our wonderful sponsors. Yay!
Hey, I'm the world's worst Paris Hilton impersonation. And when I want to get naughty, I listen to Midnight Spice with Amber every Wednesday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time. Oh, well, I guess that's why they call it Midnight Spice. That's when it's on. That's hot.
We're having an ebook sale for booklovers. 100 ebooks with 5-star reviews are on sale now at Twilight Times Books. Our ebooks are priced from $1.99 to $3.50 from twilighttimesbooks.com and also from our ebook distributors, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble, until New Year's Day. Historical, mystery, paranormal, science fiction, fantasy, and more. Booklovers, break it with good books today.
Hopped a freight in Austin, head toward Louisiana. Turn south in Houston, trying to make the Rio Grande. Asking every little town if you've been through. I'm lost in Texas, trying to find you. You left Lake one night when we were down in San Antonio. I was in the county jail for fighting with Big Joe. He said you were no good and someday I'd realize. But before he could finish, I hit it right between the eyes. It's to cross the desert, I walk 100 miles. After all you put me through, I still think you're worthwhile. Searching every rodeo and honky-tonk saloon. I'm lost in Texas trying to find you. Made it down to Corpus Christi by the Gulf of Mexico. Drinking shots of tequila, a hurricane's about to blow. Sexy senorita says she'd get you off my mind. Woke up in a cheap hotel with just a dollar and a dime. Just across the desert, I walk 100 miles. After all you put me through, I still think you're worthwhile. Searching every rodeo and honky-tonk saloon. I'm lost in Texas trying to find you. I know you just don't want to be found. When you're tired of the trouble, there is when I'm around. Honey, please forgive the hell I put you through. I'm lost in Texas without you. Just across the desert, I walk 100 miles. Sweetheart, I love you, let me make it worth your while. Searching every rodeo and honky-tonk saloon. I'm lost in Texas, trying to find you. I'm lost in Texas, trying to find you. I'm lost in Texas, without you.
Murder, mystery, and amazing steam technology come together to give you a dark taste of the prim and proper Victorian age. This steampunk anthology teases your imagination with the fantastic and makes dreams seem like reality. These 25 incredible stories will take you to a time in history when proper etiquette, crazy inventions, and scandal reigned supreme. Dreams of Steam 2 Brass and Bolts is available at better booksellers everywhere and online at kerlakpublishing.com.
This is E.W. Bradfute. I write about vampires, but I've never wanted to be their next meal. That is why I use Vampaway. One pop of this 100% garlic pill keeps those pesky vampires at bay, including the sparkly ones. Get your Vampaway today and value your life tomorrow.
Vampaway is a non-medical product known to have the following side effects: bad breath, deadly gas, occasional heartburn, bad dreams. You may lose quality time with friends or family. Do not use Vampaway if you are invited to a spin-the-bottle party. Vampaway does not work on Italian vampires.
Because you're not a walking Red Cross. Learn more and see our ad at www.facebook.com/TMVCafe.
The Displaced Detective series by Stephanie Osmond is a science fiction mystery in which Dr. Scott Chadwick discovers alternate realities populated by those we consider only literary characters. In Continuum 114, a certain Victorian detective should have died at the Reichenbach Falls. Sky intervenes, and Sherlock Holmes flies through a wormhole to our universe. Here, he must adapt to the 21st century. Book 1, The Arrival, is available from Twilight Times Books and wherever fine books are sold.
Discover 19 extraordinary stories ranging from dark fantasy to science fiction and steampunk. Alan Gilbreth has created a stimulating collection of possessed raccoons, doubtful demons, secret potions, hellish mornings, murderous black holes, dangerous missions, miniature dragons, fake vampires, real ducks, and a cranky detective. Alan Gilbreth, a short story collection, is available at better bookstores everywhere and online at K-E-R-L-A-K, KerlakPublishing.com.
That's right, and we are back here on Free Pie Night right at the TMV Cafe, and you definitely heard the exclusive first play of Lost in Texas by T.J. Howard right here on the cafe, and you'll be hearing a lot more of his music here pretty soon, ladies and gentlemen, because it will be in the Auto DJ, so stick around, because we'll even play them in some of the other shows, you know, like Paranormal, and I don't know if the other guys want them as well, but we will have those songs in there as well, so get ready, and we'll tell you where you can get his music from, because he will be coming here to Free Pie Night very soon.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah, that's right.
That's a good song.
It was a very good song, yeah. And I stumbled across this young man by accident. I was looking for some music, and I heard one of those tunes, and I was like, oh, my God, this guy's good. And I there was a couple more that it could let me listen to, so I listened to him, and I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. This kid's good. So I finally tracked him down, got a hold of him, and actually talked to him today. So we got the permission to play him on the air.
Nice.
So, and of course, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get to the importance here. We forgot to mention this. Tanya, you've got vampires in there. I write about vampires. I know there's other people out there. You do not want to be a victim of, for a vampire, because you're not a walking Red Cross. So head over to facebook.com/TMVCafe. Like them today and find out how you can get your vamp away today.
Get your vamp away today.
Get your vamp away today. That's right. Did you notice? Did you notice he even takes care of the sparkly ones?
Well, it's not too hard to take care of the sparkly ones. They break so easy because they're so fragile.
This goes to prove my point. If there is a sparkling vampire, I'm not even going there. I'm going to get so many hate mail afterwards. I better not.
I could have a really in-depth conversation about the actual storyline and writing of Twilight, because I've actually read them.
Oh, I feel sorry for you.
No, it's I read them
a publisher of mine wanted me to do a young adult novel in her recommendation, because I said I read stuff like young adult Clive, not Clive Barker. Was Neil Gaiman was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who was the other one. I've had a brain fart.
So okay, that happens.
She said they were too weird.
Just
she
let
said
it
she
out.
Wanted something more midstream. Like Twilight. So.
Interesting. I don't know if my publisher told me to read Twilight, I would tell him, yeah, I think we might have words. Yes, definitely. Oh boy, that would disturb me.
It was Clive Barker. Yeah, Steve of Always.
Speaking of authors, are you a Stephen King fan? Well, brace yourself, because he'll be here on Free Pie Nights in 2012. Yes, that's right.
That's amazing.
Let me ask you the dreaded question I ask every author. I usually save this towards the end, but I'm going to ask you now. Do you ever get writer's block?
No.
No? Really? How do you avoid it?
My opinion is that writer's block is the result of some, you can't work on what you want to be working on,
mm-hmm.
but you can write something. And I feel that the best way to deal with writer's block, if a story's not moving for you, it's one of two things. Either you're too close to it and you need to back off for a while, or it's just not meant to be. Some stories just aren't meant to be written. And it's hard to admit that you can't, it's not a matter of you can't write it, it's just that it's not working. I had one that I really, really tried to force, and I eventually had to just give it up. And I didn't look at it as writer's block, as I can't walk on this, nothing's coming. It was just a matter of it wasn't meant to be. So what I did was I moved on to do something else, and then that just popped right out of me. I mean, it was just dropped like a block. But so I don't, when people say I've got writer's block, I always hear that as I'm working on a story that isn't going anywhere.
Right.
So it's not I refuse to believe that somebody can't write anything at all. The one time I came close to being feeling creatively dry and not being able to produce anything, I went back to fan fiction, laughable enough. But it's fun, it's easy. You've got characters that are established that you can work with,
mm-hmm.
and it gets everything going again, and then you can return to your own universe.
Well, let's try this. Let's see, because you know I really haven't touched this novel since the 90s when I started writing, and it's the erotica novel. But let's see, there's two people in the chat room, Miss Jazzy and Miss Amber. Should I finish writing that book? We'll see what they say here in a little bit, because they've got to read bits and pieces of it. See what they say. I'll be honest, I've never shared it with anyone, and that was the first time I actually shared it with somebody.
I also admit, too, that not all writing is meant to be shared. Some writing is just really personal things you just have to get out, and once they go on paper, it doesn't mean the world has to read it. That's the problem with a lot of writing now, is that it's really just people's personal journals that they're trying to sell as short stories. And if people don't have to read everything, and that's the way the world of poetry went. Poetry used to be good once upon a time, and then everybody got a word processor, and they started putting their journals that they used to hide in their mattress online, and now you can't find good poetry anymore.
Okay. Okay, Greg says he thinks that if you write erotica, it takes years to finish. You're just bragging.
Is he saying that I'm the opposite because I can write them so quickly?
Maybe that's where you get the bragging moment. Yeah, mine just comes with time. I get it.
Comes with time.
Boy, that
nice.
Just, yeah, there it is.
Comes with time. I love it.
She's going to use that in her next book.
Yes, I am. And he came with time. It's
yeah.
like having sex with Dr. Who. He comes with time.
There you go. It's almost like, Verizon's going to have to change their phones for the blind. Because it's always been, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? They're going to offer their phones for the blind. Can you feel me? Can you feel me now? How about now? How about now?
I ask people that anyways.
Okay, it looks like there is an answer to the should I write that, and you want to answer that?
They said yes, you should.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it the way they said it. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, baby, yes, you should.
There you go.
you want me to wear my sexy voice for that one?
Yeah, there you go. Make it all sultry.
Baby. Yes, you should.
Yay! It's kind of, yeah, Greg, you can't write and do that at the same time. So it's kind of like, okay. I think that's where they came out with those voice recorders now.
You know? There you go. That's what I was going to say. Yes, you can.
In between.
Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but yes, you can.
In between moans and, oh yeah, heavy breathing, panting, there you go. You have to go through and edit all that out.
There you go. Edit with voice is a wonderful function.
Karma Sutra, how many positions are in the Karma Sutra book?
Oh, I can't remember. I knew at one point.
I think we just added a new one using the tape recorder or voice recorder. There you go. And I don't know how many. Well, I guess we couldn't say we did it with the adding the tape recorder because everybody's been using video cameras. See, we thought we were improving, but we just digressed. Oh, well. Well, here's how good her steampunk novella is, and this is just the first edition that I'm going to kind of mention this out to. Now, you can get it on Kindle at Amazon.com. It's called Railroad, with an exclamation point at the end there. Volume 1 and Volume 2 are up. You can get them, and believe it or not, folks, if you already have a Kindle, you only pay 99 cents.
Woohoo!
Now, how many times? Well, okay, I won't say how much I paid for my Stephen King book the other day, but I will say it's less than that. But I mean, a good book, good something to keep you on the edge of your seat, interested, and not only that, has 5-star ratings from its review from the people who've read it so far. What can you say about that?
People have been really generous. In their reviews, I've really appreciated it. The people who follow Railroad follow it religiously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way,
I've always been real appreciative of people's responses. I wish I got more comments from readers on the actual blog site.
Right.
My husband says to take it as they think it's perfect the way it is, so they don't have to comment, which is one way of looking at it. But I don't know. I wish I got more feedback from that. And the Kindle thing has really allowed me to get an overall wider view of what people think of it, which has been excellent for me.
Wow. Here's a 5-star review. Tanya has yet again, this is for part 2, sucked me in and left me hanging, this time for a lot longer than a week. Damn you, Tanya. Says, this time around in Railroad Volume 2, Dogs of War, our protagonistic Roger Dodger is headed out of town preparing for his new position as security for the, you have to tell me the name there.
Schlepnir.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I would have slaughtered that.
It's Nordic. It's from the Nordic myth. It's the 8-legged horse.
Awesome.
Odin's horse.
Oh, and the 8-legged horse used to be actually called one of the steam trains. But I didn't know that was the... I remember the 8-legged horse was considered one of the steam trains, but I didn't know it was that name.
Yep, that's why the train is named the Schlepnir. Because she has 8 cars.
Yeah. Okay, another reviewer says here, a must read. Very good, great entertainment. I really enjoy the characters. I truly felt a connection with them. Tanya is able to make them feel like you are a part of the action. Makes you want to jump on the train and join the adventures. Now see, people like that make you just, People like that will make you just want to write more. I mean, those are awesome. And I laughed because I read the chat room, so you don't do that. You can't do that and do the show at the same time. You see how well my words got taken out of content.
All right.
Hell yeah.
The joys I caught the suck you in too, but I
heard you chuckle there, but I didn't think the chat room would have got that.
I was trying to behave. I warned you before the show starts that everything I hear has sexual innuendo. Everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear her totally break out after this show, that'll be on none other than the Midnight Spice, because she's got no bars, no handcuffs, no holds bar there, and
no handcuffs.
Well, okay, you can keep the handcuffs. I can't promise there's going to be a key though.
Who wants to be let go?
I'm sure after a while your husband might say, "Let me out."
That is true. He starts to complain about the chafing.
Yeah, see, and then you get the bruising and a little bit of blood, and yeah, that kind of really turns things off after that. It's like, no, I don't mind a little.
Blood just lubricates everything. What are you talking about?
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't mind a little pain, but hello, I don't think it's supposed to bleed on my arm.
Oh, my goodness. The way that I'm editing myself right now, you should be proud.
Well, for all you wonderful Tanya fans, we are recording the show. We will have the podcast up. And yes, what we're going to do is, if you haven't already gone over to TMV Cafe on Facebook, just look us up on Facebook and fan us today. Click like. Tomorrow, both Lori's and Tanya's podcast will be posted there for you guys to listen again or share it with your friends.
Excellent.
Yes, yes. I know Lori's over there thinking it's about time. Pretty. Now that had bass. That was perfect.
Nice. I told you that was a beer one.
That was the beer one.
Now that was the beer one.
Now you need the hard-boiled eggs.
I told you. I'll run people out of the room with hard-boiled eggs. I'm not allowed to have them.
Yeah, you can open a window. See, and I'm going to tell you what, the best thing to do, and if my sister was in the chat room, I'm sure she would be reminding me of this as well, but deviled eggs with beer. Deviled eggs with beer.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's a lot better than hard-boiled eggs with beer.
Oh, it looks like Midnight Spice, she wants to have a burping contest.
Oh, wow.
With me tonight.
Oh, wow. This is going to be interesting.
I tell you what, it's on like Donkey Kong.
Oh, you're so in trouble. Oh, yes. And then, wow. And it's going to be fun because you both try to be technical and not technical at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be rolling in stitches.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm an innocent little girl who does not know the way of the world.
Well, as long as you're not telling me you're a perfect little Catholic schoolgirl, I guess I can handle that tonight.
Oh, no. No, I'm from Southern Baptist heritage. We don't go for that crap.
Yeah.
We just do it and then beg forgiveness later.
And, yes, it looks like everybody's agreeing to Y'all's burping contest in the chat room. So there you go.
It's on.
And I'm not 100% sure if there's going to be an extra guest on tonight, because I do know there's somebody who was dying to bring out the dark side of you.
Yeah.
Now, I got a question. This makes me think. Lori said that Greg was afraid of her. Is he afraid of you?
Yes.
Really?
I don't know why. I'm sweet and kind and loving, and he's a pushover.
Which makes me wonder if he's got a nickname for you as well. Because I know Lori's T-Rex.
He has a nickname for himself, and his nickname for himself is Tonya.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel better sometimes.
Oh, I can so see this going into interesting directions now.
Did you say erections? What?
Different directions. Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Directions. I'm sorry.
Greg is in so much trouble. Yes, this is going to be fun. You know, it's amazing what happens when people introduce you to their friends, because then you get all the dirt.
It's true.
And then what happens?
I love Gregory. He's a doll. He really is.
Darn.
He hit me up one afternoon. He called me at like 9 in the morning to discuss some stuff about blog talk and other things. And I get home from work about 8, and I usually go to bed about 10:30. Mm-hmm. And it was noon before he finally let me go. And wow. That was only because I really started to ramble. I was really tired. And I didn't want to get the phone with him because he's so funny. And he's so much fun to talk to. And I was like, no, don't go. I'm having a good time. I'm not falling asleep, I promise.
Well, he can definitely keep you in stitches, believe it or not. Greg is... Well, between Greg, and I know you haven't met Alan yet, but between the two of them, if you have them both in the room at the same time, be sitting on a porta potty, because there is no way you're going to have tears in your eyes, you're going to be laughing so hard, you're going to be peeing yourself. I mean, it's just...
I probably would, too, because I have a bad habit of doing that, yeah. I can see myself, yeah. But thanks for the warning. I'll grab a towel if that ever happens.
At this point, we want to mention a potential sponsor of Depends, because it depends on if you have them both in the room, you might be needing to wear them. okay, I try. See, I'm just a commodian needing to be flushed. Yeah, see, I'm not as funny as
that.
Yeah. Where's that bad sounds when you...
It was funny.
Okay, somebody's out there laughing.
There you go.
And you can send all messages and hate mail to Greg at... Oh, sorry. Anyway.
Look at him. He says, I recall just nodding a lot when on the phone. Whatever.
He says, Tanya, one cannot ramble when he is listening.
Listening. He's saying, I'm the one that rambled on and on. Whatever. I think there was mutual rambling going on that day.
Oh, man. Okay, so, oops, I closed a window I wasn't supposed to. Okay, well, tell everyone where they can actually get a chance to read, other than getting it from Amazon and Kindle, where they can get glimpses and read more of your story, The Railroad, and other stuff.
You can go to steampunktrain.blogspot.com. That will get you to the railroad site. Now, the latest chapter is always on the front page, so you'll need to peruse the side panel where it says Table of Contents if you want to start from the beginning. You can go to the Backseat Rider.
Wow.
And that will, thank you. And that will give you my website, which actually it goes to my blog, which is backseatrider.blogspot.com. And I ramble on about different things there, just whatever strikes my fancy. I don't always talk about writing. Some writers blog about writing all the time. I like to talk about other things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find some of my work at the Twisted Library. Ooh, wow, it's really coming up now. And
you got to save it for the contest.
Save it for the contest, huh? And also at the Steampunk Tales. I believe it's .com. I'm all over the place. Just go to Google and type in Tonya Brown, and you'll find me.
There you go. And she's on Facebook. And you can also go to the TMV Cafe Facebook fan page, and she's in there as well. So.
Oh, I'm on Facebook. I'm a Backseat Rider. I think that's my name on that. Yeah, Backseat Rider. And Facebook friend me, because I am a Facebook whore.
Ah,
I love Facebook, and I'll talk to you, and I'll be your friend, and I'll give you links and say funny things and make general fun of you. I mean, be your friend.
And you got to say the word again. You're a Facebook what?
Whore.
There it is.
Facebook whore. Whore. I am. I'm also an attention whore, which is why I write.
Do you have plans on writing anything outside of all that?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
I got an I don't know from her. Wow.
Like outside of steampunk?
Yeah.
Well, I've done zombie stuff and meh. I think probably speculative fiction is what I'll always write. I don't really do the drama or the literary thing. Skin Trade, the one I just finished, is probably as close to literary as I'm going to get. It still has zombies in it, but it's more of a historical drama.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's about the Old West, an alternate history where an infection has killed off the Indian nation, and they rose again as zombies and attacked and drove everybody off the Western Front. And now the Western Front has got a border on it, and it's guarded. With the army guards the border.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of men move into the Western Front to hunt zombies and bring back their pelts. It's called the skin trade. They go in, hunt zombies, skin them, and bring them back.
Yeah. Okay, this makes me question the thing, though, because skinning zombies? Is that what
mm-hmm. That's right. It's about, and the story actually... It revolves around a young runaway girl who is brought into forced prostitution, and she's trying to get out of it. And how she gets out of it, she cuts all her hair off and pretends to be a boy, and she gets wrapped up in the skin trade and learns it from an old runaway named Mr. Theo. And it's actually a pretty dramatic story. It's not as horror-driven as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a bloody, all about skin and gross, you know, that's what I set out to write. Mm-hmm. But when I sat down to write it, her voice immediately clicked on, and it became the story of her life more than anything else.
Interesting.
Skin Trade.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's gotten really good responses. The beta readers for it seem to really like it. So,
yeah.
I'm really pleased with it. I think it's going to be a good book.
I'm interested in finding out what more results are from that, and see where that goes.
No, if you'd like to read it, I'd like an opinion. Always looking for opinions.
Well, there you go. We can connect with that and do that later. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, what we're going to do here is we'll take a small musical break and do a transition into getting Miss Amber in place, and we'll be switching over to none other than the Midnight Spice. So thank
Woo-hoo.
You. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Miss Tanya, for being here.
Don't hang up.
Definitely don't hang up. And and we'll get y'all into the Midnight Spice mode here in just a brief moment. So just sit back, enjoy a little bit of music, and we'll be right back here on the TMV Cafe. And I think it's a good time for Miss Amber's song.
Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass.